Good morning, Decatur, Illinois. This is the Sunday morning radio broadcast of Trinity Lutheran Church. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 1960 East Johns Avenue in Decatur. Our Sunday morning worship is at 9 a.m., followed by Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:15 a.m. We'd like to invite you to worship with us, especially if you do not have a church home. My name is Pastor Matthew Versman, and I have the privilege of being the pastor of Trinity. Let us begin this morning's worship with the words that were spoken at our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is appropriate that we confess our sins and ask God to forgive us for the sake of Christ. So, O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and I sincerely repent of my sins. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Amen. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word of God, announce God's grace unto each of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ in John 20, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we continue with our message this morning, hear the word of God from Isaiah 25. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, the Lord will remove the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Dear friends in Christ, whenever we hear the phrase, the party's over, it can mean different things to different people. It can mean, it's 2 a.m. and I've got to go to work in 6 hours. The party's over. It can mean that the host of the party is all out of eats and drinks. So what do you say we head home? But the phrase, the party's over, can also mean the curtain has fallen. Sayonara, baby. The mighty Casey has struck out. It's all over but the crying. And you and I will never have another chance to share Jesus with our lost friends or family members, and they will never have another opportunity to hear about their forgiven Savior that they've been blowing off. Why? Because the party's over. That's why. In Isaiah 24, right before our text, we see one of the clearest end-of-the-world descriptions in the Bible. If you are an earthling, I invite you to listen closely to what Isaiah 24 says. The Lord will lay waste the earth and scatter its inhabitants. The earth will be completely laid waste and plundered, says the Lord. It will be the same for priest and people, for master and servant, for mistress and maid, for buyer and seller, for borrower and lender. The earth will dry up and wither, for it is defiled by the people. They have disobeyed God's commands. They have violated his statutes. They have broken his everlasting covenant of love. Therefore, a curse will consume the earth, Its people, referring to unbelievers, must bear their guilt. Therefore, the earth's inhabitants, again referring to unbelievers, are destroyed, and very few are left. Notice there are a few survivors. We'll get back to that. Those making merry will groan. The partiers will be silenced. The noise of the revelers will stop. All joy will turn to gloom. All rejoicing will be banished from the earth. And the floodgates of heaven, and here the floodgates are referring to the judgment of God, the floodgates of heaven will open. The rejoicing of the earth will be shaken, and the earth will be broken to pieces. So heavy upon it is the guilt of its rebellion. It will fall, never to rise again. Holy buckets. That's what God means when we say, the party's over. There's no chapter in the Bible more frightening than Isaiah 24. The Bible says our world is fading away, withering, perishing, and reserved for judgment. We see hints of it all the time, including now in the Middle East and in Ukraine. The writing is on the wall. This world's party is almost over. So every earthling needs to pay attention as to how they can escape the judgment that is coming. In the midst of the devastation of Isaiah 24 that is going to hit planet Earth before our Lord's return, Isaiah describes the Earth's survivors. Yes, there will be survivors. Isaiah 24 says, "But the godly will raise their voices. They will shout for joy. From the west they rejoice in the Lord's salvation. In the east they give glory to God. From the ends of the earth, we hear singing, glory to the righteous one." So the question is, how can you and I survive the devastation and be counted amongst the survivors? Is the answer by going off grid, stockpiling freeze-dried food, loading up on guns and ammo, or saving the environment? But it won't save you from the devastation that's going to hit the late great planet Earth. John 5, whoever believes in the Son already has eternal life and will not be condemned. They have already crossed over from death unto life. Not only do the godly survive, they're actually celebrating. For although the judgment is hitting the unbelieving world, this is their day of redemption. The destruction of those who hate the Lord spells redemption for God's downtrodden, mocked, and persecuted people who love Him, but who the world hated. Now, after hearing the party's over, for those who have no time or space or love for Jesus, we're told that a party to end all parties is just about to begin. In fact, one could even say it's already begun. This party is for the forgiven and redeemed children of God. Isaiah 25, on this mountain, the Lord of hosts will prepare a feast. Cosmic judgment will give way to cosmic celebrating for God's children. Fasting will give way to feasting. Crying will give way to rejoicing. Sadness will give way to joy. Suffering will give way to paradise. Dying will give way to living. And this veil of tears will give way to heaven. What, isn't it great to be a Christian? But all of these gifts are only received by those who love the Lord because He first loved us and gave His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The rest of the earthlings have blown off Jesus and blown off His gifts and will now live in their self-chosen hellish poverty for all eternity. But for God's people, the party that began on Good Friday and Easter morning, it's just getting warm. It's just getting started. And it will last for all eternity. It will be a feast of the finest of meats and the finest of wines, as we sing the new song of salvation. And we will take up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord face to face in the greatest worship celebratory service one has ever experienced. Why? Here's why. On this mountain, the Lord will swallow up death forever. In fact, the party's already begun. For all who have taken God up on the deal, that although we do deserve death too, yet we are forgiven and risen to die no more through the blood of the Lamb, applied to us either in baptism or the Word of God. The party to end all parties has already kicked off every Sunday in God's house, where we're already celebrating both that there's nothing dead about our Savior. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen, just as he said, Matthew 28. But we're also celebrating what Jesus' resurrection means for us who trust in Christ as Savior. Here's what it means, John 11. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even if they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die eternally. So for those of you who prefer to worship at St. Mattress on Sundays, let me remind you that there's nothing boring about the death of death. There's nothing boring about hearing how you can get out of your grave alive. There's nothing boring about rising from the dead to die no more. There's nothing boring about hearing that every sin you ever did wrong is forgiven. There's nothing boring about learning about more about and already participating in the party that's already begun and that will last forever in paradise. But how can you and I be so sure it's all true, Pastor? Here's how. Christianity is the only religion, philosophy, or belief system in the history of the world whose founder died and came back to life again. The reason we can be sure it's all true is because Jesus said, I am the Savior of the world, I'm the Savior of sinners, I'm the Savior of all people, and I'm going to prove it. And I'm the Savior from death. And the way I'm going to prove it is I'm going to die and rise again, something no one else has ever done. And he did it. He pulled it off. No other person in the history of the world has been able to pull that off except Jesus. And unless you're God, either the God of some other religion, or the God you look at when you're standing in front of a full-length mirror, if your God can't solve the problem of death, then I'm here to tell you, you need a new God. In fact, even though resurrections may be hard to pull off, you and I don't know how to raise the dead. Nevertheless, the resurrection of Jesus isn't hard to prove at all. Just follow me on this. Dr. Craig Parton, an attorney in California, says, if the eyewitnesses have Jesus dead at point A, and they do, and if those same eyewitnesses have Jesus alive again at point B sometime after point A, and they do, then Jesus Christ has risen from the dead for our salvation, even if your brain and mind can't figure out how in the world he pulled it off. And as soon as Jesus checked out of his grave alive, the never-ending party for all who trust in Christ as their Savior, for all who follow the victorious and conquering Lamb of God, for all of the survivors who trust in Jesus as Savior, that party already began on Good Friday and Easter morning. And what we're celebrating is that in Christ, death has been swallowed up in victory. Far from the party being over for the people of God, our party's just beginning. And make no mistake, Jesus is the life of the party. In Revelation 1, God gave John a glimpse of the party that's already going on in heaven, that we already participate in when we gather for worship. When John gazed into heaven, he saw the full-blown glory of our resurrected Savior. And the vision was so great that it knocked John's feet out from under him, and he fell to the ground as though dead. It is possible he actually died there that day. But then Jesus, the life of the party, put his hand on John and said, "Do not be afraid. I was dead, but behold, I am alive forever and ever." Let me assure you, Jesus knows how to throw a party. People always say, "Well, I don't want to be a Christian. It's so boring." I tell you, you haven't seen a party yet until you see the party that Jesus has already kicked off by his death and resurrection, and the party that he's preparing for all those who love and follow him. Isaiah 25 says, "On this mountain, the Lord will prepare a feast of rich foods, the finest of meats, and the finest of wines. Forget about the best vintage you ever tasted. We will rejoice over the wine of gladness that flowed from Emmanuel's sacred veins for our forgiveness," especially as we see him face to face, and as we already do in the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Which leads us to a critical question. Who's invited to the feast? Notice the word "all" in Isaiah 25. The Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples. On this mountain, he will remove the shroud that enfolds all nations, and he will wipe away the tears from all faces. People say, "I don't like Christianity because it's so exclusive." That's not really true. All are invited to the heavenly party. The problem is that many of the all are refusing the Lord's invitation. Unbelief is basically saying to the Savior, "Thanks, but no thanks," to God's free invitation to the heavenly party that will never end. Everyone's included in God's party and in his forgiveness before anyone is excluded by their own refusal to be a part of the party and by their own refusal of the forgiveness that is already theirs in Jesus Christ. But how can any of us gain access into God's party? When Isaiah 64 says, "All of our righteousness is like filthy rags," Isaiah 59, "Your sins will separate you from the Lord," Revelation 22, "Nothing sinful will ever enter heaven," how can any of us gain access into God's party? And here's how. Jesus' forgiveness is your access into the party. His cross is your backstage pass into heaven. His death is your ticket. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," and bowed his head in death, the curtain in the temple was ripped in two from top to bottom, from heaven to earth, indicating that through Jesus' blood, God has given us full and complete access into his very presence at the wedding feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. The only ones who won't be at the party are those who refuse Jesus' free invitation to have part in the party and to be his forgiven bride. Now, what about party gifts? This is a no gifts, please event. I'll never forget when I was a kid, my family received an invitation to a wedding or an anniversary. The invitation said, "No gifts, please." And I said to Mom, "Who doesn't want to receive gifts?" I remember Mom telling me, "It means they want cash." I'll never forget that. But when it says, whenever it says, when it comes to the marriage feast in heaven that Jesus is throwing for us, this truly is a no gifts please event. We bring nothing. We can bring nothing to this event except, shall we say, our sins, and lay them down at the cross, have them forgiven by Jesus, and through the forgiveness of sins, we gain access into God's grace. Isaiah 25, "The Lord of hosts will prepare a feast of rich foods. The Lord of hosts will swallow up death forever. The Lord of hosts will wipe away all tears. The Lord of hosts will remove the disgrace of his people." Notice, the Lord of hosts is doing it all. In fact, Luke 12 adds an amazing detail that should knock your socks off and even get you to start talking to yourself in the stag line down at the VFW. Luke 12 adds, and Jesus will dress himself to serve us at the party. Now, this doesn't mean we won't serve and worship Jesus in heaven. We will. But in his amazing grace and lavish love, our bridegroom will also, above all, serve us, his bride. Even though it was only him and his forgiving work at the cross that made us his bride. What an amazing Savior. Isn't it great to be a Christian? In Matthew 22, Jesus says, at the right time, the master of the banquet sent out his servants to tell those who were invited, come, for everything is prepared. Indeed it is. The bread of life, Jesus, has already been baked in the oven of God's wrath on the cross for all to eat and live forever. The wine of Christ's blood has already been poured from Emmanuel's veins for sinners to drink and live forever. The finest of meats, and the Word became flesh, was roasted in the fire of God's wrath for our salvation. And now that the feast has been purchased and prepared for us on Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Easter morning, Jesus tells us in John 6, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. No gifts, please, because God puts everything on the table. The forgiveness of sins, life and salvation, paradise, access into God's grace, a place in the Father's family, a place in the Father's inheritance, a place in the Father's home. All of it purchased for us, not with gold or silver, but with spitting and mocking, whipping and nailing, bleeding and sweating, crying and convulsing, damning and dying, buried and rising. And now, Jesus lives to give. The feast has already begun in the appetizer of the Lord's Supper. Isaiah promised, on this mountain the Lord will prepare a feast of rich foods, the best of meats and the finest of wines. We already have the appetizer. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you, through which we receive forgiveness, healing, and life forevermore in the paradise of God. This is why we come to worship, to feast, and to receive gifts. So when your kids tell you they don't want to go to worship, just say, oh, so you don't like to receive gifts, do you? Well, that should make Christmas shopping really easy this year, and see if that changes their attitude. Finally, as with any party, you and I need to RSVP. Our Lord is so passionate about our coming that he even gives us words to respond with. And they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. There's our response to the invitation. So come to the feast, even now, because everything is ready. Come joyfully. Come expectantly, come triumphantly to the feast of Christ's victory, already in appetizer form in the Lord's Supper, which is a foretaste of the seven-course gourmet feast on God's grace that is to come in all of its fullness in heaven. The celebration of Christ's forgiving death and his victorious resurrection has already begun in heaven, first of all, and it's already begun in appetizer form and celebrated in God's house every Sunday. And with the final trumpet call, it will be brought to complete fullness at the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom with Kaz Noen, with an endless, and I mean endless, Alleluia, which has already begun to be sung by those in heaven. As we hear in Revelation 5, you are worthy because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased people for God, from every tribe, language, people, and nation. And you made them to be a kingdom of priests, to serve our God forever and ever. So start enjoying the party to end all parties with worship this Sunday, and get ready to party forever in Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Let us continue with prayer. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful, gracious, loving, and forgiving Father you are. All for the sake of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son and our dear Savior, who wanted us to be your children from all eternity, and you gave up everything in the giving of your Son that we might be your own. And Jesus, we thank you for laying down your life for us on the cross, that having purchased our forgiveness, life, and salvation, we may have access into God's grace and into this great party to end all parties that has already kicked off in heaven. It's already kicked off on earth, wherever two or three are gathered in your name. We pray, O Holy Spirit, that you will keep us in our faith in Christ our Savior, by whom we have freedom and confidence to come into God's presence and into God's home. Lord, be with all the nations of the earth, especially this week, as we see another war begin in the Middle East, and as we see an ongoing war in Ukraine. We do realize that we are to take notice of this. Although we cannot predict the day that you are coming, we know that these are all warning signs of the return of your Son Jesus on the last day for our salvation. You warned us there would be wars and rumors of wars. And so when we see these things, help us ourselves to repent and to trust in Jesus, that we may be found righteous in his righteousness and forgiven in his forgiveness when he comes to take his people home. Lord, be with the people of Israel and all of the innocent people who are not causing this war in the Middle East and in Ukraine. We pray, O Lord, that you will use it, however, to bring many people everywhere to repent of their sins, realizing that we deserve nothing from you but death, but realizing that you want to give us forgiveness, life, and salvation. We pray you would defend our trusted ally, Israel, and that you will be gracious and merciful to that nation and protect that nation from those who would do her harm. Be with our nation, although we don't deserve it because of our many sins. We pray you would protect us from enemies within and enemies without who would seek to destroy us, and that you would grant, by your grace, protection and defense, life and liberty, forgiveness and salvation to our land. O Lord, we ask this all through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. Again, thank you for tuning in to the radio broadcast of Trinity Lutheran Church in Decatur, Illinois. Trinity is located at 1960 East Johns Avenue on the southeast side of Decatur. Our worship on Sundays is at 9 a.m., followed by Sunday school and Bible classes. And we would love to have you join us for worship. Have a great day in Jesus Christ, and may God bless you in the week ahead.